Good morning. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3. My name is Tyler Warner. I'm an elder here, and I'm going to be continuing the series on abiding this morning. Michael is sitting at the airport with my mother-in-law. And they are on their way to Israel, so be praying for them. And so that's why I'm up here this morning. And this morning I want to discuss how we're to abide in Christ. How do we build an abiding life? How do we answer that call Jesus gave us to remain in Him? So before we dive in, let's pray. Lord, it's our desire to remain in You. God, we want an abiding life. We want to bear the fruit You promised, Lord, peace, patience. Lord, I pray this morning as we look at Your word, as we look at what I've called the building blocks of an abiding life. God, I hope that's just an effort to design our life around remaining in You. In Your name we pray. Amen. I've lost 30 pounds about 3 or 4 times in my life, and I'm hoping for a fifth, so it's that time again. I'm a chronic yo-yo dieter. Most notably, I lost 30 pounds when I did a juice cleanse. I did 30 days only juice and lost like a pound a day. I was actually eating canes, watching a health food documentary, and was absolutely compelled by the idea of a juice cleanse. One of the biggest things you read about a juice cleanse, if you've ever gone down that road, is that they promise, there's a lot of big promises, but one of the biggest promises that compelled me was, once you go on a juice cleanse, once you've done about 30 days, you'll never desire bad food again. That was what compelled me the most. Like I said, I'm sitting there eating canes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love canes, right? I love fast food. I love all the things that are bad for you. So that was the most compelling thing for me, that if I went on this 30-day juice fast, I would never desire, my taste buds would change. I would just be completely transformed into like a vegan or something, just loving carrots and all the salad I could eat. So 30 days into it, lost 30 pounds. You're supposed to come off of it very slowly. You're not supposed to shock your body. Well, I think like day two, I was back at Cane's. I think I had barbecue like the day before. I jumped right back in. My taste buds have not changed. As you can tell, this is the reality, right? But I think if you talk to anybody about what it takes to lose weight, to get healthy, what do they inevitably say, right? You get a couple guys, oh, okay, you got to go low carb. You know, my brother-in-law's got a Peloton. He's an advocate of that, you know, trying to get me on that bike. But inevitably, after the conversation continues, someone would say, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, thank you. It's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. I think the same is true in our spiritual life. And when it comes to abiding in Christ, there are lots of things we can do, but it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. This was glaringly obvious for me as I prepared this sermon this week. This is like the third iteration of this. And as we were preparing in the office, we're talking about, it just kept coming up, well, how do we do it, right? The concept of abiding is not necessarily difficult, it's just hard to do. And so you ask any faithful Christian, how is it that we're to abide? And you're going to get a lot of different answers. You know, we were talking about this at the office, and Michael, you know, starts, well, I like to recommend just 15 minutes a day in the Bible. Good, helpful, practical tip. And then I come in, I'm like, try to blow it all up. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, the Bible, like the early Christians didn't even have the Bible. Like, we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, right? You know, that's my And then Zach's kind of a little nervous. And he's like, well, I mean, but you got to understand the whole of the Bible, right? Once you understand the big picture of the Bible, that's when things start to unlock. And then Jody comes up and she's like, guys, it's precept upon precept, right? And then she prays for the men's ministry. And then Paola's back there and she's like, all I asked was what to put on the graphic. And also it's about prayer. We need to be praying, people, right? So this is what I experienced. And it's all true, right? It's all good things. And that's the point. It's not one of those things. It's all of those things. And that if we're to be remaining in Christ, we need to build a life, a lifestyle that remains in Christ. And so that's the point of this morning. And I say this with humility. I feel like over the past few years, God has brought me to a place where spiritually I've lost 30 pounds, so to speak. I feel like he's transformed me spiritually. I feel like I've been trying to make this a lifestyle. But the moment I try to point to one specific thing that I've changed, I don't want it to be a diet, right? I don't want to go back to just picking and choosing and adding spiritual things to my life. I want my entire life to be built around abiding in Christ, because I'm the guy who could do 30 days of a juice fast and then eat canes the next day. I don't want this happening in my spiritual life. I want to continue to abide and see where God can change me, see where he can transform me, and see the fruits bear in my life. And it won't be that way if I just pick and choose. I have to build my life around abiding. So the first thing is that abiding is a lifestyle. And it's the same in our faith. And so we're going to look at Peter this morning. And Peter is, I think, a great example of an abiding life. He is, I think, one of the best abiders. And so I wanted to look at the life of Peter because Peter is living in this new reality, right? Peter was a disciple of Christ. He had been a disciple of Jesus when he was walking physically on this earth. And then now we see him abiding in his Holy Spirit. We see a story of Peter living in this new reality where the Spirit has come and he's now walking filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is our reality, right? Jesus is no longer physically here, but his spiritual presence is with us, right? Through the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to look at what Peter's life was like, one of the best abiders. And I put best in quotes there because I guess somebody could debate that, right? But we're going to look at four observations of Peter, the best advisor, the best abider. The background of this story is, like I said, Peter is just now living in this new reality. The Holy Spirit has come. And the new church has started. There's about 3,000 believers in Jerusalem, and they're spreading rapidly. You can read Acts 2 and see that they're living this new way of life together. And everything that Jesus had prophesied would happen is taking place. In the passage of Scripture in John 15 that Zach taught us about, where Jesus teaches that he's the vine and we're the branches. All of that is sandwiched in everything Jesus told us would happen when he left. He said he was going to send his Spirit. That Spirit has come. He said that the Spirit was going to be a helper, a friend, an advocate. And that is happening. Peter is walking with the Holy Spirit. And the story picks up where we're going to dive in Acts 3. And like I said, the church has started now. And they're meeting. And then we'll start in chapter 3. I'll read the text. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms." Basically, he's asking for money. "Of those entering the temple, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This morning, we're going to do classic Bible study, okay? We're going to go through this kind of text line by line. Some of it's going to get real, like maybe even word by word. And we're just going to do classic Bible study. And in your outline, you can see there's the underneath the first point, you've got observation, interpretation, and application. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the text, and the first point we'll do observation, interpretation, application. That's a bonus building block for you guys, right? There's more bonuses if you listen to the end. That was a joke. If you've ever seen a webinar, that's what they do. All right, so that's what we're going to do this morning. It's a good tool if you're new to Bible study. Observation is simply asking what's going on here? What do we see? Who are the characters? What's happening? Interpretation is a little bit harder, depending on the text you're reading. You have to kind of figure out what the history is. Maybe there's some language things that we don't understand. Maybe there's other scriptures that are being referenced. And so there's a lot you'll need to understand and interpret it. And then application is what are we to do with it? What is God speaking to our lives? How are we supposed to respond according to his word? So those are kind of the three things. Like I said, that's a bonus building block as you build your abiding life. So let's dive in. This is the first verse of chapter 3. It says, "Now Peter and John." And I'm going to stop right there. Peter and John. The first point is to build friendships, okay? And you're like, man, you are really ringing this text out, right? But like Jody just said, right, to abide, to love one another is to abide with God. We miss this so much. When we think about building an abiding life, we think this is about my spiritual life, right? This is about my response to God, and that's all true. But we miss so much if we believe that we're supposed to do this thing we call Christianity, this spiritual life, this abiding life by ourselves. And so what we see is Peter and John together. And this isn't the headline of the text, I will agree with that, but I couldn't pass up the reality that so much of what they did together. And as I think about our church, as I think about my own life, I think about how lonely we can be and how lonely even the spiritual life can be. And it's because I think we miss the concept that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and that's part of it all, that together we are the body of Christ. Together we are. And there's community in that, and we can't miss that. We're supposed to build an abiding life, and friendships are a part of that. If we don't have faith in our friendships, our faith is on rocky ground. There was a Jewish pastor who told the story of the prodigal son. It's one we're all familiar with. And he said, when we read this story, we hear about the son who leaves his family, takes his inheritance, and look at all the sin that he gets trapped in, right? It's just totally destructive. It ruins his life. And we look at the sin in his life. He said, when I teach this in the Middle East, when I teach this, and he's pretty sure when Jesus taught this, the headline was that he left. The headline was he left his community. He left his family. He took his family's money and left. And the sin was just obvious. Of course. Of course, if you're to leave your friendships and your community, of course you will find yourself, in the muck and the mire, right? And so the point is that friendships are a part of abiding life. And I've got on my notes here three rings of intimacy, which is something we were trying to work on with small groups. and I've abandoned quickly because it sounds way too like I'm signing people up for a cult. But the reality is that there's these, in your life, there's these levels of intimacy, right? With your friends. And the point of the graph was to say that church, there's different types of levels, right? There's, we come here and you guys are all listening. God help you. And then there's another ring, right, where we might be in Bible study together. We might be in small group together. But even beyond that, there's the idea that there's these core friendships that help us in our faith. And this is by design. Not that our faith is made possible through friendships, but like the scripture says, when we abide with another, we abide with God. It's part of it. So the other thing I have on my notes here is, can we all be friends? And I want to keep this super practical this morning as we go through these. And I just want to practically just give us encouragement. Some of this, friendship is easier for some people, more easy than others. And so if it's easy for you to make friends, would you help people that it's not easy to make friends? Does that make sense? So this whole year, we're going to be talking about abiding. And in our church, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to build deep and lasting friendships. And I just want to encourage us to do that, that we would make friends and that we would be friends with each other, that we would honor one another, love one another, that we would do it well. You can't do it with everybody. It's going to look like two or three people. That's heartbreaking for me. I'm a guy like I love, you know, I want to hang out with everybody all the time. But the reality is deep, faith-driven friendships that will be there and help you abide and remain in Christ, it's just going to be a handful of people. And I want to encourage us to build those relationships this year. Second thing we see, the next two words. No, I'm kidding. It's, well, not quite. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. We're to build a prayer life. If we continue building an abiding life, prayer is a part of it, okay? We see that right out of the gate in Peter's life. There's two things that I want to observe in this. I want to observe the devotion and the diversity in prayer life, the devotion and the diversity. The first thing we see is the devotion. Some of your Bibles, it just says one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. This was something that was normal in their life. They normally went to the temple to pray. Later on in Acts, we see them, they can pray on rooftops, they can pray wherever, but there's always a devotion to it. So pick a time and a place. This is exactly what we see here, a time and a place. In Jewish spiritual life at that point, there were hours of prayer, and this was the ninth hour. And that probably meant that people had been there at different times of the day. John and Peter, might have been their second time of prayer for the day. Certainly, they had been there throughout the week because that was their life. They were devoted to prayer in that way. So pick a time and a place. This is super practical. But this is part of building an abiding life, one that remains in Christ. And the second thing is the diversity. Diversity in prayer. And what does that mean? Well, we see Peter there at the ninth hour. And when you read about the Jewish spiritual life at that point, different hours marked different types of prayer. And this particular hour of prayer was confession. It was the hour of confession. And that sounds like a long time for confession, a whole hour. But that was part of it. So we have different types of prayer. There's prayer of confession. You've probably heard these terms before. Adoration, supplication, all these different types of prayer. Confession is just telling God, you know, things where you've erred, where you've wronged, where you've messed up, where your heart has not been like his, where you've sinned in your life. That's an important part of this. Adoration. Adoration is something that is when we're just worshiping God, when we're adoring Him for who He is, right? And then supplication, this is what we're probably most familiar with. Most familiar with the idea of just asking and bringing our requests to God. But diversity in prayer is a big part of it. Not only just the devotion, the routine, we need diversity too. We need to make sure that we're bringing all of our prayers to God. And this is a part of building an abiding life in Christ. The third thing we need to build is your perfect day. Okay? You need to build your perfect day. And you need to take your pen, you need to scratch it out. Okay? And put interruptions. Everybody with me? Build your perfect day and then scratch it out and put interruptions. The third point, I didn't know how to say build with interruptions, so you guys just played along with me there. But the point is that interruptions are a part of an abiding life. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. He was interrupted. He was there to go and pray, and then he runs into the guy that asks him for money. Okay? Peter knew about this life. He had been with Jesus. He had been a disciple of Jesus. There's 7 miracles recorded in the book of John. All of them are interruptions. You could maybe argue that walking on water was more of a shortcut, not an interruption, but if you read, he was actually there because he was trying to catch up with his disciples, more than just that, but he had been hiding out on a mountain because they wanted to make him an earthly king. Interruptions are a part of an abiding life. And I don't know how to say it. We can't build our life around interruptions, but we can be ready for them. We can be ready and on the lookout for interruptions. Val's grandpa says that if someone gives you 3 excuses, they're probably lying to you. And think about that. It's pretty true. If you're a boss or you manage people and someone calls you and they're like, yeah, I got a flat tire, and my dog ran out of the house, I had to catch him, you know, and I think I-10's backed up. It's like, okay, you had me at flat tire. Now I think you're lying, you know? And the point I'm trying to make is that the devil, Satan, is the author of lies, and he has roamed around this earth building a framework, destroying rather, the earth with a framework of easy excuses. There's always an excuse, right? They could have absolutely kept on walking in the temple, but they didn't use that. They were ready to be interrupted. They were ready to be interrupted. Peter lived this way because Jesus lived this way. He had seen Jesus get interrupted so many times, and that was when the real work was getting done. He didn't just walk into the temple like we would with our cell phones, you know, bump into a column and then keep walking in. He paid attention. He paid attention to what was going on, and he saw that interruptions are often why we're there in the first place, right? He was building his abiding life through interruptions. The last thing is building with gifts. We're to build our abiding life with gifts. It keeps going and it says, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Peter used his gift from the Holy Spirit. Jesus had given him this gift of healing. He was told to use the gift of healing. He was told that when I leave, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, And all you have to do is ask in my name. And we see that it go down to the T. Peter had been given the gift of healing, and he doesn't hesitate to use it. His entire life was oriented around abiding in Jesus, and his gifts were always ready to be used. We have gifts. The Holy Spirit's work in us comes with gifts. It comes with things that we're supposed to be doing for Christ. And those gifts, I'm excited about this year, actually. This year, we're going to be going through Ephesians, and we're going to actually be, there's people in our church preparing all kinds of tools and resources for us to learn more about our gifts, to learn more about how we have been shaped by Christ to do and to be used by him. And that's part of building an abiding life. We're to build an abiding life building with our gifts, taking what the gifts that Jesus has given us and building with them. The last thing I'll close with is something that has been nagging at me, and I want it to nag at you. When I was preparing for this, I read that it's likely that Jesus had passed that very same beggar on his way into the temple. The beggar had a reputation, you find out later in the story, but a lot of people knew him. He had been coming there or being brought there for 40 years. And it's likely that Jesus had passed that beggar. And when I first read that, I didn't like reading it. It kind of just messed with me in the wrong way. Right? I didn't like that it was implying like Jesus would have saw him and passed him up, you know? That doesn't go with my sermon. But as I thought more about it, I thought, yeah, that makes sense. He probably did pass up that beggar. He passed up all kinds of people in need. He passed up all kinds of hurting people. He saw the sin and the heartbreak and despair of this world, and he saw the reality of it all the time. And it moved him toward the cross. And he went probably passing up that beggar as one of many of people just like, no, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the cross, and I've got to help my disciples understand what's going on. And in John 15, we see it. We see Jesus say, it's better. It's better that I go. It's better that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. And thinking about that beggar as he passed that guy up, probably thinking, Peter's going to get this guy. I mean, think about that. I'm not going to heal this guy. He's been here. Peter's going to get this guy. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happens. Jesus goes. He goes to the cross so that he can transform us, so that he had to go, so that he could replace our hearts, so that he could send his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, so that we could remain in him, we could walk with him, and we could be the ones to do more than he could in the sense of a greater, he's not bound by his physical body anymore. He probably didn't heal that beggar because he probably healed somebody else, right? And the reality now is that he's bigger than bound by his own body. He's bound by the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in you and I, and together we fulfill his purposes. And that's exactly what Peter did. He at that moment, believed everything Jesus had told him. And he looks at the guy and says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Everything Jesus had told him happens. He had built his entire life remaining in Jesus, just like he had asked him to. And we see his Holy Spirit work constantly. That's my prayer for us this morning, that we would not just pick a thing to do. There might have been something in here you heard. You've probably heard it a lot. It's not just something to pick and do. It's a lifestyle. It's as cheesy and fake guru as that sounds. It is a lifestyle to remain in Christ. Build your life around that. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that this would sink into our hearts, God, that your Holy Spirit would prompt us, that it would help us to remember all the things that you taught. Lord, that we could do just that we could build our lives around you and remaining in you. God, that we would move into friendships, Lord, that this place would be a place of deep, deep friendship, Lord. I pray that we would build a devotion to prayer. God, I pray that we would be ready for interruptions, and that you're always right around the corner with somebody to help, someone around the corner to help heal, Lord. And God, I just pray that we would know our gifts, that we would walk carrying your gifts. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If y'all will stand with us.